Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It is the Monday after the draft.
Yeah.
Woo!
That exhale.
Was, yeah. We, you know, the Pittsburgh Marathon was run on Sunday.
It sure was.
The real Pittsburgh Marathon was you and I on really Saturday, but the whole draft.
Saturday was a marathon.
Saturday was a marathon.
The stretch before the Hayward pick was like a deserted island there for a while of radio, trying to find stuff to talk about. But no, it was fun. I saw Stan when we were here, and that was awesome. And we had Alan Faneca, Coach Bradley. I mean, we had a lot of people contributing over the weekend, too, which broke it up well. And it was great seeing everyone, too, and actually being in the facility was awesome, too.
It was fantastic being in the facility. Of course, the Steelers making 7 draft picks. They added Kenny Pickett in the first round, the quarterback out of Pitt. George Pickens in the second round, the wide receiver out of Georgia. DeMarvin Leal out of Texas A&M. On the defensive line. Then in the 4th round, they added Kelvin Austin III.
I didn't realize he was a
third. He is a third.
Okay.
Out of Memphis, a wide receiver. Connor Hayward in round 6, fullback / tight end / whatever you want to, utility knife, out of Michigan State. And then in the 7th round, linebacker Mark Robinson of Ole Miss. And Chris Oladokun, quarterback out of South Dakota State, will go down in history as the final pick of Kevin Colbert.
Oh, yeah. There you have it.
So it started with Plexico Burress in 2000. It ends with Chris Oladokun.
Okay. There you go. It was kind of an odd selection, and we're not going to spend much time on the 7th rounders, I'm sure, but they must have liked him enough to bring him to camp and didn't want to compete with the rest of the world for him. So, and speaking to Kevin, I mean, his press conference was pretty awesome, too, and emotional, and, you know, he was rightfully honored and talked about. I mean, he's an amazing person and contributor to the team and team builder.
Yeah, after the draft, the Steelers signed 10 undrafted free agents as well. That would be offensive tackle Jake Dixon of Duquesne. I believe he's a Bethel Park kid.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Running back Mateo Durant out of Duke. Defensive lineman Donovan Jeter of Michigan. Outside linebacker Tyree Johnson of Texas A&M. There's that school again.
Yeah, right.
He's got a little juice to him.
He's a name I know. Yeah.
Outside linebacker T.D. Moultrie of Auburn. Guard Chris Owens from Alabama.
Okay.
Cornerback Chris Steele out of USC. Offensive tackle Jordan Tucker from North Carolina. Running back Jaylen Warren from Oklahoma State. And cornerback Bryce Watts out of UMass.
Okay. So, I mean, one of those names will make the team.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Just, you know, don't forget about them. I don't know much about them yet, and I'll dig into them at camp. But, you know.
I know one of the things, and let's might as well jump into this. People looked at, they didn't have any offensive linemen.
Right.
If you start running the numbers on their
roster. It's a pretty full room.
It's a pretty full. They got 9 guys.
Yeah.
And actually more than that with NFL experience when you add in like a Chaz Green and guys like that. Guys who have started NFL games, they've got like 12 of them
about a dozen or so.
Yeah.
And probably 10 roster spots at most.
Maybe 9. If you're going to keep, you know, if you're going to keep
7 D linemen.
If you keep 7 defensive linemen, then you probably only keep 9 offensive linemen. Or if you keep, you know.
I mean, they're going to keep at least 5 receivers and maybe
probably 6.
I mean,
if you start looking at those numbers, I actually broke things
and now
down.
Now I think about it, Hayward's a roster spot that they don't usually have, too, like a utility guy or, you know. And so I haven't thought about the roster construction that much yet. I mean, we got a lot of time to break down the final roster, but still, that's interesting. They don't have a lot of O-line spots available.
Right. So, you know, so that's when people talked about. Well, they wasted a pick in the 7th round on an offense on a wide quarterback. They should have just taken an offensive lineman there. Guy's probably not going to make your roster.
Yeah. I feel more and more that the league cares very little about the seventh round anymore. And I don't know if that's just a perception thing, but lots of punters and kickers, and I think it's an analytically driven approach. The people look at the seventh round and like, these guys never make the team.
5% of these guys make an NFL career. Like,
right. I mean, some of these teams that made a lot of moves and trades, I mean, like the Jets were done picking in the fourth round. You know, I mean, they dumped those picks.
We've seen that in recent years as well, that those veteran guys, you know, if you're going to trade for a veteran, it's a fifth-round pick. Like automatically,
a sixth round pick, or a seventh round pick.
To your point about the
instead of fighting the open market when they get cut type of deal, and there is a saying out there that there's no number of seventh round picks equals a first round pick. You know what I mean? Like they're not all a penny, and they end up equaling a dollar. They just don't.
You could. We'll trade you our next 10 7th round.
I'll take them all. Yeah.
Right. For a first round pick, no, nobody's going to do that. You're not taking volume over quality.
No. Right.
So I think really your draft is made by what you do at the top of it. Yeah, it's nice if a fifth rounder hits.
Absolutely.
But they seldom become stars.
Right. Fifth rounders hit here and there. Seventh rounders, I mean, don't even make teams anymore.
So, know? Yeah.
But anyway, that's not where
we... The two positions the Steelers didn't, the two things that they didn't do, they didn't get a running back and they didn't get...
O-line.
O-line. Mm-hmm. They didn't get a true nose tackle.
No.
You know, I think, that tells me, A, they trust that Tyson Alualu is going to be... Ready to roll this year.
Right.
And the fact that they didn't address the defensive line until round three tells me they feel Stephon Tuitt is coming back as well.
Yeah, or in free agency up until this point.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't spend money on a guy. So, yeah, I think now have seven defensive linemen that they are excited about, including Loudermilk and Wormley and those guys. I mean, they all improved last year. Those two improved last year as well as Adams. Like, if your second line, your second hockey line is – Adams, Loudermilk, Wormley, I'll take that. You know, I mean, those aren't starters, but they're your second line guys. And you and I talked about nose tackles, particularly Jones, and everyone talked about Jordan Davis, of course. I don't know that that's a priority for them. Yeah, I mean, there's other ways to stop the run, folks. There's other ways to play defense than putting 350-pound guys out there. I'm sure they liked Jones. I'm sure they liked Davis because they can run. But they didn't just grab a hog to stick in the middle of the line. You know, I mean, the league has changed.
It really has. And if you look at the last one that they drafted, it was Javon Hargrave.
And he moved
pretty
well.
And he's a different kind of, you know, he's a penetrating up the field.
I mean, how many sacks did he have in college, too? Like a million.
Yeah, right. And did so again last year with the Eagles.
And got paid big. I mean, those guys are coveted. But who was the dude from Baylor a couple years ago? The Billings, you know, the big power guy, power lifter, but he was fourth
also
round
the fourth round
pick.
Yeah.
And now where's he at, you know?
So let's talk about Kenny Pickens.
Pickett.
I did that again. You know why? I'm looking here at George Pickens' name, and I'm saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've said this a couple times over the weekend. Billy and Wolf with picks and Pickens. And how many times did I say the word pick in the last 3 days? Right. Well, the next pick, and then I hope Kenny Pickett doesn't throw too many picks when he's targeting Pickens. You know, like it's... It's good stuff, though. It makes me chuckle.
Now, you know, we were both, I'm not gonna fudge this, we were both on the, hey, draft Malik Willis for the upside.
Yeah, right, potential. Right. They know more than we do, though.
They know more about their roster than we do as well.
They know way more about the players in particular.
Right.
Which isn't a knock on Willis.
And people have already been saying, well, the league didn't like this draft class very much. Malik Willis was invited to the draft to sit in the green room.
Right.
They do that based off of what NFL teams are telling them. They don't just...
They don't pull Kuiper's board or
not
DJ's board.
They're not inviting Mark Robinson to sit in the green room.
Right.
They invite guys who they believe, based on the people they're talking to, are going to go in the first round.
They don't want the poor kids sitting there. You know,
day three guy going sitting in that room for four rounds.
No, right. They want someone who's a valid chance to go in the first round.
And he didn't. No.
He didn't.
That doesn't mean that he can't play or whatever, but the Steelers valued Kenny Pickett. Now, I've also heard the argument, well, they could have waited and taken him in the second round.
I don't know about that.
You don't know that.
Yeah. I don't know that.
And I've heard people say, well, if the Steelers hadn't taken him in the first round, there'd have been no quarterbacks in the first round. That's not true either.
Right.
Somebody would have taken Kenny Pickett, whether it was Kenny Pickett or somebody would have made that first move at quarterback, whether it be a team trading back into the first round, whether it be the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. whoever it may have been, would have made made that pick in that first round. There would have been a quarterback in the first round.
I think so. I mean, I think you could look at it in a negative light and say, boy, they could have waited for the second round. And obviously, this is Monday morning quarterbacking. They could have got Willis later. They could have got Ridder later, whoever. And that's true. We know that to be true now.
Now?
Yeah. And I do think it is safe to say the league didn't like this quarterback class as much as other years, or maybe as much as some mock draft told us.
Some
and
of
those
it
type
too,
of things
Matt, was
too.
The, I mean, the teams had already made all their quarterback moves.
There's been a, I was going to say that too.
The Steelers even made a quarterback move
right.
in the free agency. They didn't.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Need to draft Kenny Pickett.
Right.
They wanted to draft Kenny Pickett. There's a huge difference there.
Right. And we don't know if Pickett was their 20th guy on the board or their fifth. You know, that kind of stuff we don't know. We'll never know. We also don't know, did the league look at Pickett, Gap, the rest of them? You know, we'll never know that.
Right.
You know, the Steelers apparently, and we also don't know this. If Pickett would have went at 19, maybe they would have taken Willis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We
they
just
may
don't
have
know,
him
yeah.
as their 20th best player or 18th best player. So the way it worked out, it doesn't. The optics don't look fantastic, you know, like, boy, this class isn't any good. I don't see it that way. You know, I look at it and think, I bet Ritter's starting in Atlanta by week 8. Especially.
At some point this season, Ritter will start games for the Atlanta Falcons.
I bet Corral starts in Carolina even.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me if we see Sam Howell, a fifth-round pick in Washington at some point. And Willis, I think it's an awesome location for him. I know we're talking Steelers here, but those guys should look at Davis Mills and say, I need to do that. I need to convince this team that I'm on now not to use next year's first-round pick on
there's
a quarterback.
There's so much less pressure, too.
And there's so much less pressure, right?
Yeah.
And
that
you added a first-round pick. Oh, there's Drake London. That makes my life easier.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. But I understand the Pickett pick a great deal. I mean, there's a lot of logic behind it.
Yeah. The other part of the equation is that the Steelers took a guy. They went for the guy who they know is a clear double.
Right.
Over the guy who could be a home run or could be a strikeout. They didn't want Dave Kingman.
No, to use
your analogy
from last week.
They wanted the guy who's going to hit the double. They wanted early Barry Bonds, who hit doubles. And
they want their leadoff hitter on first base.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. You know,
right.
Yeah, and see what happens. Maybe he scores a run or not. But it's there's no outs, and I got my number two hitter up, and I got a guy on first that can maybe steal second. You know, we'll go from there.
But the comps on Pickett, I'm going to do this again. The comps on Pickett were Kirk Cousins or, you know, some whatever middle-of-the-road starter.
Mm-hmm. But starters.
Yeah, average to above
Dalton.
Average.
They
yeah.
were better than that.
Yeah,
you know,
average to above average starters, you want to compare them to. I don't know that people talk about his ceiling. Well, he's already as good as he's going to get. That's absolutely 100% not true.
No, that's not really how sports work or quarterbacks work.
He's going to continue to evolve as a player.
We
he
all
can
like to
get better.
Say we know, oh, this is what he is. He can only, you know, he's got a low ceiling. And the people that loved him thought, boy, there's a lot of Joe Burrow here.
You know,
I mean, I'm not saying it's be Joe Burrow, folks.
Right.
I mean, I'd rather Burrow, don't get me wrong. But to say that his story's written and at best he's a double, I think it's a little unfair, especially if you put him in a good situation. I say this a million times. When I'm evaluating quarterbacks once they land, I almost care about where they land more than I care about the player themselves.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And they're going to be able to put stuff around him. He should succeed here. Unless Trubisky's better. Right, which is very possible, too.
And then you're in a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know people, well, that's, you know, what if Trubisky hits? Okay.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
Right. I mean, you could trade Pickett. He could be a lifetime backup. You know, give me.
You've got 5 years of cost-controlled quarterbacking here.
Right. That's the beauty of this.
If Trubisky hits, you've got him for 2 years of cost control. Mm-hmm. You can extend him because you're not paying Pickett anything.
You could franchise him.
You could franchise tag him, and then after year three, Pickett's ready to go. Oh, okay.
And people are calling you. Hey, are you trading one of your guys? Yeah, we'll listen.
Yeah,
right.
So
having too many quarterbacks isn't a bad thing.
And you got them all relatively cheap, which allows you to do things like, we saw A.J. Brown traded over the weekend. We saw Marquise Brown traded over the weekend. Apparently, if your last name is Brown as a wide receiver, you're on your way out. The teams that aren't paying the wide receivers are the teams that have established quarterbacks.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part. Yeah, paying their quarterback a decent amount of money.
The Raiders and Bills are kind of exceptions.
Yeah.
But I think that's the trend that's really developing.
But the Bills made the trade for Stephon Diggs before they were paying Josh Allen.
I know, but they just re-upped them.
Right.
But no, your point's 100% valid. If you're at Mahomes or Rodgers, sorry, you don't get the $25 million receiver, too.
You want to make $50 million, you better make these receivers into something.
Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers can complain about it as much as he wants. He's not complaining about it when he's cashing the checks.
And you know what happened with those two teams, now that I think about it? They mostly drafted defense.
Yeah.
I mean, both the Packers' first-round picks were defense. Almost everything Kansas City did, except for Sky Moore, was defense. I mean, Pat, you're in charge of the offense. Yeah. You make this thing go,
The Packers went up and got Christian Watson in the second round.
Right. I mean, they both use second-round picks.
You get a second-round wide receiver. You don't get a first-round wide receiver because you're making $50 million.
And you don't get a $25 million wide receiver.
Yeah,
and you certainly
don't get that.
Right. But, you know, who gets a 25 or a nice receiver? Jalen Hurd. Tua. First-round, second-round guys that need help. So your point, I assume, is if by chance DK Metcalf becomes available and the Steelers want him next year, they could get him.
You can afford to do those things. Right. You can afford to continue building that nest. You can afford to spend money on a cornerback or spend money on you can pay TJ Watt to make him the highest paid defensive player.
You'll never lose somebody you want to keep from your own team.
Keep Javon Hargrave if you wanted to do
Matt Filer, I think, would be a Steeler right now, and Hargrave would be a Steeler, and we wouldn't be talking about there's no nose tackle here.
The Steelers haven't been in this situation in a very long time.
Right.
It's almost like they've gotten a reset on their salary cap.
Absolutely. It's not like they'll spend foolishly, I don't think. I mean, I think they're very wise with where they spend their money. They're not going to be the Jags just buying things left and right, but they're going to have the ability to fix the team in more ways than the draft.
Correct. You can fill in the holes. They did it, if you look at it, early in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to sign James Ferrier.
Right.
They were able to go get Jeff Hardings.
I mean, trading for Bettis and things like that.
Okay, we need a guy. Well, we can go get one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're paying Ben Roethlisberger, now you get to, okay, we got to go sign these bargain basement guys and hope they hit.
Or this third-round pick needs to be a starter for us. And that's hard on coaches. That's a tough way to live.
Yeah. So you can, this works. This could be something that works for the Steelers. They're essentially, by signing Trubisky and then taking Pickett, you're taking two bites out of the apples. One of these guys is going to be your starting quarterback.
And I still think Rudolph is somebody they know and like. They don't think he's the answer. That's clear. But he's in the mix, and you could get you out of a game or whatever. But you're 100% right. You took two big swings that weren't risky.
Right.
That's the thing. First-round pick is not much to risk. The 20th overall pick.
Trading several picks to go get that quarterback, that's where you
Trey Lance has to hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Pickett doesn't hit, if he's a terrible player, it doesn't set the organization back at all.
He was the 20th pick in the draft. He wasn't the second pick.
You could draft one next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't set you back at all. If he's terrible, which I don't think any of them thinks he is, I very much understand it. And I don't know this for a fact, but I bet the tiebreaker, if there ever is one, was just all the knowledge you have about Pickett is rare. You could go the relationship they have with all the people next door, and do you think they maybe mentioned to some of their players, hey, when you get a chance, go shoot the breeze with Pickett. Tell me what you think of him.
Well, his offensive coordinator
right
was Mark Whipple, who was Ben Roethlisberger's quarterbacks coach
right.
in 2004 and 2005.
Right.
You can't know anymore. Like, this is a
guy
who...
They had to get glowing reviews of Pickett.
Without
glowing.
A doubt.
Have to.
Without a doubt. And you trust the who's giving you that information.
Right. I've said this 1,000 times this weekend. Scouting is really gathering information and interpreting it is the biggest portion of it. And you hope your information's really good. You know, we did another show... recently, and you mentioned the A&M connection. Well, I think they trust what they're getting out of that building more than they do other schools. I mean, it shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's the pick. He's going to get an opportunity to compete for the starting job.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Willis would not have gotten that. And I, to me, that was the one thing that I looked at that was a plus.
For Willis.
Because I was willing to... give Trubisky the opportunity to be the guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't work out, fine.
Mm-hmm.
You spent the year with Willis. You developed him over the course of the year, and maybe he's your starter next year.
I think it'd be easier to get Trubisky ready for week one if Willis was the pick instead of Pickett.
Correct.
It is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the negatives.
That's for the coaching staff to figure out.
Yeah, right. But that doesn't mean that they were close. I mean, they probably liked Pickett much more than Willis. I don't know that, but the pick shows that that's probably the case.
Yeah, so, the Steelers take Kenny Pickett. It's weird because I was – this whole thing, this whole process, when I went to the Senior Bowl, I was told, well, the Steelers – this was by somebody who in the know. It looks like they really like – Kenny Pickett,
mm-hmm.
and they would really, if he's available at 20, they'd probably take him. I'm like, okay, I'll stash it away. I wrote it at the time.
Not surprising.
And then, coming out of the Senior Bowl, you hear all this stuff, well, the Steelers really, they're enamored with Malik Willis, and that continued throughout the process. Kenny Pickett was always there. I didn't think Kenny Pickett
would be. Coach Tomlin talking to Willis.
I didn't think Kenny Pickett would be available to them at 20.
I didn't either when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
I thought he would. Not that he was clearly head and shoulders above everybody else, but he's a very safe, safe.
He was the most pro, you're a team like the Carolina Panthers, you don't have a starting quarterback,
right.
Take Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, 100%. Or I thought the Saints could be a spot. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of trade up to 18 if you're many teams. And I don't believe at all that, they settled on Pickett 3 or 4 months ago. I'm sure they knew who he was and loved him. But I don't think that it was a smokescreen that Willis and Howe and all these other guys they investigated. They just did all their work and came back to the original conclusion
that he was the best one.
We still like him the most, so I get that.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about the rest of the draft here. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.